The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio. It's Ayr, Leicester and Sandown on Friday afternoon. We've got the usual Friday evening of all weather racing as well from Wolverhampton and Dundalk, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon, Mark. I'm in absolute rampant form with just 5 days to go to the festival. My preparations are going smoothly.
Yes.
Had my hair cut.
I can tell. Very nice.
Slight concern. My hairdresser was starting to tell me about one of her medical problems, which was piles.
Oh, dear.
Fortunately, I fell asleep, and when I woke up, I had no hair left. God, blimey. Frightening it was when I looked in the mirror. I've had the car valeted.
Good.
All clean, so when I go down there, and mother's ironed me boxes. So I'm all ready to rock and roll.
You are Cheltenham ready.
The case is there, set fur.
Good. Are you on Twitter, Pimmy? You're not on Twitter, are you?
No.
Cause
I have got a phone.
Well, there's the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Cheltenham ready.
All right.
So you could post a picture of your ironed boxer shorts.
Could indeed, and, couldn't
yeah,
I?
Hashtag
yeah.
Cheltenham ready.
Yeah, my bald head. I could have a lollipop. I'd be like Telly Savalas, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Well, I'd love to get into that modern stuff. I think I'd be quite good on that tweeting, to be honest.
I think it'd be quite entertaining to follow you.
I think I quite like that, actually. But anyway, I need to get a phone that you can text on. Never mind, just receive phone calls from.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Fair enough. Right, quite a lot of news to talk about as well today, Pimmy, before we move on.
Absolutely
to
Absolutely fantastic when I picked up the Racing Post. Again, Gordon Brown was in with him, you know, not the ex-politician, the Scottish guy.
Yeah.
You can get this for a pound a day on your app, Pimmy. It's £2.10 to buy that. It's a great saving. Oh, well, that's great if you've got an app.
Yeah.
But I just stick to the old format, mate. Pick up the paper from the paper shop, you know?
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
You'll notice then that Richard Hughes is going to retire at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that for me was a bolt out of the blue, to be honest. Right. It didn't even cross my mind that he'd be contemplating it. But I can fully understand where he's coming from. He's going to go out at the top. He's obviously had big, big issues regarding his weight over his career. And he's more than likely thinking there's a little bit more to life than dieting 6 or 7 months of the year. So it's interesting. I'm sure he'll be successful at the training because he's obviously going to get plenty of support from many of the owners that he's ridden for. If you look back, though, and statistically we haven't looked into this, I mean, maybe we should have done, but not many top jockeys become top trainers.
Yeah.
But many middle-of-the-road jockeys become top trainers.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they have more hands-on, actually, in the dealings of the horses on a daily basis, whereas the top jockey basically goes to the races, gets on, gets off. So he doesn't have that quite so much hands-on with the everyday feeling and working with the horse. So I think that could be an interesting one. That, you know, Hugh's top jockey, does he become top trainer? I think that's interesting. I also think that's even going to open a bigger can of worms next year for jockeys, because we've seen this week in the paper that Khalid Abdullah doesn't want to retain a jockey, which I think possibly tells us that take away your James Doyle, your William Buicks, and for me, still the Tory, as top men, they maybe think that the rest of them are very much of a muchness. And rather than take one of a muchness on, they'll wait and pick and choose on the day, hopefully that Ryan Moore might be available or one of the top boys that have gone to Godolphin. So, yeah, I think it's a big, interesting switch around for the old jockeys as well next season, because what a fantastic job that would be at Hannon's, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But you tell me who's going to get the job. Because I've thought about it and I couldn't come up with a name.
Well, I suppose if you've got somebody young and you know, somebody like a William Buick that's going, or a James Doyle that's got many years in front of them and already pretty talented.
Yeah, but we've got to think to ourselves, well, these guys are booked up. So what I'm trying to think is think out the box a bit.
Mm.
And out the box, there's not many that really come jump out at you.
No.
That would be my opinion anyway. So we'll watch this space with that one as well. So. Mm. Another merry-go-round of the jockeys.
It is. It's Yeah, we've heard that the champion jump jockey is going to retire, now the champion flat jockey as well. So
yeah, and again, that'll open up a load of avenues for a lot of people, won't it, with McCoy going. A, for Mr. McManus's job, that's going to be the big one. But again, by the same token, you know, if he's riding for two rides for Mr. McManus on a daily basis, he's taking three or four other rides along the way as well. So that's going to open up opportunities for lots of jockeys when it comes along. And again, it'll be interesting when the McManus team announce who's going to be their retained jockey.
It will. Also, a nice touch from Cheltenham to name the Grand Annual after Tony McCoy this year.
Absolutely fantastic.
Last race of the festival. He's won it three times as well, I think, in the past. It's a nice tribute, isn't it?
It is indeed. And again, he looks like he's going to have a horse that's going to be in there with a chance as well. So that's all good. And I'm sure that he won't have a race named in his honour just at this festival. I'm sure that'll continue for years and years to come that we've got it. And again, it's interesting as well that the one of the races this year is in honour of Toby Balding, who McCoy was mentored by when he first came over from Ireland. So again, some nice touches at Cheltenham with the naming of the races.
Yeah. Other news in the paper, Pimmy? We're not really too encouraging from Catterick in terms of an all-weather surface. I noticed that today when I was looking through the paper.
That slightly disappointed me, really, because I'd much prefer Catterick to become a northern all-weather circuit than Newcastle, that's for sure. But I can understand, having read the article by John Joe Sanderson, that, you know, the difficulty is they're going to the banks for some funding, and it's obviously substantial funding of 10 or 11 million, and the bank will be saying, well, what's your strategy? What's your business plan? And they're saying, well, our business plan is to hold a minimum of 33 meetings. OK, so when are those meetings? Well, actually, we haven't been given them yet, so we don't know. Well, how's that work?
Yeah.
You know?
That's the tricky thing, isn't
because
it?
Because they could go get the funding, and then the BHA said, actually, we're only going to allocate you 10 meetings a year to start with. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 situation that Catterick find themselves in. I know you could well be in the market to fund that for them, that 10 or 11 million mark.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
But it's just, would that then take you away from your duties here as producer?
I think it might get in the way a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, I'd maybe just body swerve that financial interest in Catterick then.
All right, okay, I'll have a word with my accountant and see if there's a way I can stay here and just fund Catterick, see what happens that way.
Yeah, it's worth a try.
Okay. the likelihood is, though, they're saying they need 33 meetings, and that's quite a lot to get in your first season, is it not? Am I thinking that?
Yeah, no, it's a massive amount, but obviously they've done the sums, and to make it work, to repay the loan and everything else, and to keep the whole structural thing going, that's what they're going to need. So it's an awful lot, but I think, again, you know, it can be filled by those 33 meetings, I think. Because
there's a desperate need for an all-weather track.
The location, yeah. And again, a lot of people are going to think, well, hang on a minute, Suddle's not really a surface my horse goes on. There's only few horses really like that deep fibre sand. Mm-hmm. But horses like the Wolverhampton, they like Chelmsford City, they like Kempton. You're going to get another good surface in the north. But for them to send the horses to Wolverhampton, Kempton, Lingfield, Chelmsford City, an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're trained in Malton, or a little bit further, or even the middle, I mean, it's a doddle to get there. Mm. And I think more and more owners will say, actually, well, we'll take our chance now when the transport's going to be 100 quid rather than £200, £300 to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Good. Anything else caught your eye, Pimmy?
Not really. I just thought it was interesting that Eddie O'Leary said he'd rather take the Gold Cup than have winning four races there. So that's an interesting that he really holds the Gold Cup in such high esteem. And he's well represented there this year, that is for sure. And, hopefully that might come to fruition, you know. But it's obviously not that far away now. And I think a lot of these trainers will just be cotton-wooling them now. Let's get there. Let's get there now. We're so close. But I bet you between now and Tuesday, we'll pick up the paper and something says, gone lame, not well, can't run, you know.
Well, we've already had Coney Green might not be running at the festival now.
Have we? I didn't know that.
That was two or three days ago, I think.
Right. I thought they were just delaying the decision of whether he would run in the RSA or the Gold Cup.
From what I heard, he might not be running yet. So.
Right. Oh, well, that's an interesting one.
So we'll find out more. It's only days to go. So
yeah, five and counting.
Good stuff. Let's go to one of those days, the next day in the countdown, and that's Friday, and we'll get Pimmy's best bets for Friday in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, an afternoon of jumps racing to come on Friday. Three national hunt meetings. We're going to look at two of those, starting at Sandown in their 3:25. And this is the Grand Military Gold Cup. It's for military amateur riders. It's a three-mile chase. And there's 12 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. Some previous winners in there. Some jockeys that have won the race in the past as well. So it's quite an interesting race, isn't it?
Oh, it's an interesting race. It's a fantastic race. And certainly, it's full of history, isn't it, this Grand Military Gold Cup? Not a race I would be telling my listeners to be overly investing, because obviously we've got a lot of jockeys that we don't know a great deal about. But the one that we do know a great deal about is Lance Bombardier, is it?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, Jody Soule, who actually won this race back in 2011 and 2013. And I think at the last sort of military meeting at Sandown, he rode a winner for Paul Nichols as well. So he's obviously the go-to guy in this type of event, and certainly How Long Is a Foot is an interesting runner. Races off a mark of 130. If this was a handicap, he'd be giving just about every other runner in this race some form of weight. So they're running nearly off level weights, either 12.5 or 12 stone. So if this was a handicap, he'd be very, very well in indeed. Mm. So that's a big plus for you. And he's only a six-year-old. Could be plenty more to come from this fella. And the other one I like is the other runner of Paul Nichols, Merrion Square, who I think is a past winner of this race.
Yep.
And his jockey, Captain Harry Wallace, he won this race in 2012. So again, he knows what it's like to win the race. And again, I think if you're having a bet, then bear that in mind, that you're going to get one of the more capable pilots on your side. Interesting jockey as well here is Captain Guy Disney. I think he rode in the race at the last Sandown meeting for the military. I think he was one of the guys who had his leg amputated in battle, didn't he? Mm. So amazing feat to be able to get back riding. And he rides Balalia Man. And again, he wouldn't be without his chance if you're looking for something at a little bit of value, maybe.
Yeah, and what a story that would be as well.
Well, wouldn't that just be a great story? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think maybe that Jody Soule also is the trainer of Theo Prattis, is it? Theo Prattis?
Yes.
Who, I should imagine, will be a big, big prize tomorrow. Wouldn't think he's got much of a chance. But Gunnar Grace Gostolo takes them out.
Hmm. So your selection?
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to take the two Nichols horses against the field, if I may, Mark.
Yeah.
So How Long Is a Foot and Merrion Square.
Okay, good stuff. That's the 3:25 at Sandown. Then the 4 o'clock at Sandown is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2¾ miles. Nice field of 12 of them here, Pimmy. And a few of them interesting winning maidens and coming into handicap company now. So are those the ones that you start with here?
Yeah, I'm going to start with number 8, Lessons in Milan. Nicky Henson, Barry Garrity. This horse won very, very easily, as you'd imagine, when he was a 4-7 shot at Lingfield last time. It was only a maiden hurdle on heavy ground, but he couldn't have done it any easier. And he comes into the handicap off a mark of 126 tomorrow. He's certainly an interesting player. As to, you can say the same about Eustica, John Joe Neal's runner. He won his maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles at Uttoxeter last time out. He was a 5-2 shot on that occasion. He comes into this race off a mark of 126. And to be fair, both of these horses off that mark could be very, very nicely in. So I think they're interesting. More than likely, the market will tell us how that's going to work, mm-hmm. where the strength is in the two maiden winners. And I thought the other one that's interesting, and I'm afraid he's getting a little bit long in the tooth nowadays, and that's Aral Durr from the Alan King Yard. I thought he ran OK last time out when we saw him. It was a very competitive handicap hurdle on that occasion. And he just might be, again, a little bit of value. But I think it's between 8 and 9, Lessons in Milan, and Eustica, who is the biggest improver.
Mm. Which, did you go with either of them, or did you just take them both? Well, you can't really. You probably won't be able to get away with taking them both, would you say?
No, I don't think so. I would possibly wait to see what the market does in the morning. See which one's the stronger of the two, and whichever one it is, that's where I'd be following in.
Fair enough. A couple to keep an eye on then in the 4 o'clock at Sandown, and the 4:45 at Ayr is where we'll finish. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Some horses in decent enough form here, Pimmy. We've got Presenting Junior, who's chasing the hat-trick down at the bottom of the weights. You've got Great Fella, who's won two of his last three. Big Water's been in good form. It's a tricky one to figure out.
This is a smashing race. Yeah. Very, very competitive. Good prize on offer as well, 7,798. So well worth winning. And again, it's competitive. As you say, Big Water's been in cracking form. He started his winning ways off a mark of 124. Then he went to 129. Even in defeat last time, off a mark of 137, the handicapper put him up two foul for getting beaten. Obviously, that was a good run behind Knockahand at Carlisle last time out. And even despite his burden of 11 stone 12, he still goes there with a big, big chance because he's only seven. He could have a progressive profile, this fella.
Mm-hmm.
The Sue Smith runner, great fella. Well, again, he won off a mark of 125. He's gone up £8 for that success. But again, he did it nicely. He beat Rustburg by six lengths at Catterick. And again, there could be a little bit more to come from him. Man with a van could be interesting. Andrew Lynch comes over from his native island to partner this nine-year-old. He unseated last time out, but prior to that, he didn't run too bad at all. Man with the van. And the man, well, he ran well enough last time out behind Oscar Rock. He was badly out of form prior to that, but Nicky's Richards horse has been in good form of late. He could be as interesting. And also Presenting Junior, who, again, is gradually going up the weights. Race off a mark of 119 tomorrow. But we haven't seen him for 114 days, which is a slight concern.
Hmm. OK. Now, narrow it down to one for us and pin me in that.
I'm going to stick with the top weight.
Yeah.
Big Water.
OK, Big Water then for Pimmy. In that one, let's just have a nice little summary of all your thoughts, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to the Grand Military Gold Cup at Sandown Park, and we're going to take the two Paul Nicholls trains runners in this amateur riders race, How Long Is a Foot, and also Merrion Square. In a very competitive handicap hurdle, which has a post time of 4 o'clock, I like the look of the two maidens who are coming into handicap company for the first time, Lessons in Milan and Eustica. And I'm possibly just going to wait until I see how the market reacts to both those two in the morning. But those two would be the ones that I'd be looking to go on and to win the race.
Okay.
And going up to the west coast of Scotland with a post time of 4:45, very competitive handicap chase. Going to side with the Alan Swinbank trained Big Water.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday. So those are the selections of Chris Pimlott for Friday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Stuart Beasley, Craig Forsyth and James Millman will be the team in the studio. We've got Ayr, Leicester and Sandown in the afternoon, Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.